And this was a further confirmation of Paul's apostleship. I was thinking of Hebrews 2, verse 3 and 4, when you talked about confirmation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. So what was true of Peter and the other apostles now is true of Paul, and it is really God bearing witness and confirming that he is behind the message that Paul preached.
And I was thinking that, you know, the school of Tyrannus was a place where philosophy and rhetoric was expounded. What does Paul bring in the school of Tyrannus? The truth, the word, and the consequences, the miracles that were wrought. Tremendous miracles, as you're pointing out, to confirm, to authenticate the truth and the development of Christianity. And that power was manifested in all types of diseases and wicked spirits going out of persons. This is the power of God in action. But I think also, as you get the power of God in action, what do you see coming along, as we've been seeing all along? The enemy in his effort to thwart what God is doing.
It's touching, really touching, verse 12. The body of Paul. There was no attraction. He said in Galatians, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. That man, not only using his intellectual ability, his ability to speak in the synagogue in a very eloquent way, his ability to speak to the philosopher in Morris's Hill in a very eloquent and convincing way. He was a great speaker, but he did not use the methods of man to speak. But just the idea of his body and the sweat of Paul, that which he had labor, because that's what you use a handkerchief for. Here you wipe your sweat. The sweat of Paul as he agonized in prayer for the sins of God, as he labored for the Lord and sweat, he was real all the way. That as a result of that, the Lord even honored that. And that which is a fruit of his labor was a cause. The Lord used it to heal and to cast out evil spirit. It's just a matter of the man who was dedicated completely, body, soul, and spirit. And every part of him was used of the Lord.
And what a record the Spirit of God gives here of that wonderful man, the body, what is used to help men. The next thing we see that Satan always likes to imitate the ways of God. But brethren, we can rest assured he can never duplicate. But I like to bring the thought of even what the Spirit testified gives credit to Paul being the servant of the Lord. These men, they want to try to imitate what Paul was doing. And they're trying to cast an evil spirit. But look what the evil spirit response says. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who are you? Now, just think for a moment that this is a man that was known not only amongst the saints of God, and not only, of course, known before heaven, but he was known by the enemy himself. He knew that this was a vessel that was used to hinder every effort of the enemy. So the Spirit could respond, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. And how wonderful to see it is such a power that the Spirit of God has bestowed upon such a man to really just make much of the Lord Jesus Christ.
This section also indicates for us the necessity of not taking to ourselves the name of Christ lightly, not treating lightly that we call ourselves, we are called by the Lord, but that we would call ourselves Christians and identify ourselves as Christians without really any reality. We are not Christians because we grew up that way. We're not Christians because we heard about Christ and we know some facts. We're not Christians because we went to the youth group and because we went to Sunday school classes and learned how to say his name or learned to refer to the preaching that we heard from somebody else. That's what these men do here. They refer to the fact that Paul preaches the message of Jesus, and they knew that there was power in that name because they saw that the Lord, that Paul, when he mentioned the Lord Jesus, the spirits were subject to that demand that they must leave the one that they were possessing. But the name of the Lord Jesus is not, this is really taking the name of the Lord in vain, isn't it? This is not cursing, but it's taking the name of the Lord in vain. It's using the name of Jesus as some magical charm, or as if there's going to be some way to become known by misappropriating the name of the Lord Jesus. And this is soundly rejected by even the evil spirits. Even the evil spirits know the power in the name of the Lord Jesus. They tremble at the name of the Lord Jesus. But they don't tremble before one who only knows the name and has no relationship. So we may apply this to ourselves. We may perhaps there are some here in this room who grew up always hearing the name of Jesus, but there never was a real relationship. Or we may make an application to those of us who really are true believers. We know that we have been washed in the blood of Christ. We have been made his own. But there's not a relationship. And so it's as if maybe even in the life of a believer, the enemy would almost say, who are you? You're not following the Lord. I don't have any fear of a spiritual person coming to do God's work here, because you just carry the name as if it's something as a badge, but it's not a real relationship. I don't want to go too far in making the application, but I think we see the necessity of a real, vital, living relationship with the Lord when we want to use his name.
And also to add to that, I think not only just to add to the point that we just made, the matter of making money or gaining on the expense of Christ. These seven were going around making money by casting out demons or claiming to do that. So now there is a way to do it, and well, sure, cheapest way, use the name of Jesus. Do you see that on TV a lot? If you watch TV, these guys in the name of Jesus, and they are actually trying to do exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. Making gain on the expense of Christ. Making themselves wealthy on the expense of Christ. And for us, it's the same thing. Are we making ourselves wealthy on the expense of Christ? Are we serving Christ for gain? Or are we serving Christ because this is our calling? We are his bondmen, and he takes care of his servant. But that's a way in Ephesus, and that's why I think Paul said in his address to the elders of the church of Ephesus, silver and gold I have not taken from any of you. I have not taken anything from you. I have not made gain of you. But these men were trying to make gain of Christ. And today, we see the same thing.